CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. It is Monday. All right, what's happening? Let's start the day properly. Put a big smile on our faces and let's get out there and let's... Oh, hang on, we can't. We can start with a smile, though. We can do that. But we're not allowed to go out there yet. Has anybody heard anything from anyone in authority about when this bullshit's going to be over and when we'll be able to resume our lives? Or is there no plan for an end game? Does anyone have any idea of when this shit will come to an end? Or are we just going to play it by ear and everyone's going to hide away like frightened children until September when we're all dead of hunger? Anybody?
Do you mean when will COVID-19
end? Hang on, Leanne. I can't hear you. Just hold it. Bring up the sound here. Yeah, sorry, you were saying? When is?
So do you mean when will COVID-19 be over or when will lockdown be over?
Well, COVID-19 will never be over because...
No,
diseases,
it's going to be around forever.
Right, diseases don't die. And even in places where we've inoculated people against polio for generations now, it comes back because that's what diseases do. So what we have to do is learn to live with diseases. So that's not going to go away. So if you think that that's going to happen, you live in a fantasy world. And COVID-19 is not dying anytime soon. And if it peaks now or it peaks in September, the same number of people are going to die. Same number. Right, Mbulelo? You know this stuff.
I don't know.
Well, go on. Don't be blind talk. Don't be frightened and shy for the first time in your life.
I don't know. What am I? It's okay.
What's your thinking, though?
Well, there's mixed feelings at the moment, so I'm waiting a little bit to see what the experts say.
Yeah, these same experts who let us down, like the WHO at the beginning, and said the death rate would be between 2% and 4%. Those experts.
The bankers crashed the economy in 2008. We still listen to them. So I don't.
I think if anything, the last 5 to 10 years have taught us that experts are to be avoided at all costs.
I have a bias when it comes to the sciences, though.
Yeah, well,
I'm not going to listen to blogs.
No, sure.
You have a sci-fi.
Yeah, well, then don't listen to blogs. Just look at the reality on the ground. How many people do you know who've lost jobs in the last 2 or 3 weeks? How many people do you know who are lining up for food parcels at the moment? How many people do you know who are staring at a very bleak future for them and their kids? That's all you need to look at. Don't worry about some engineer or scientist sitting in a faraway land. That's what you need to know. Common sense is always your best guide. Always.
Correlation of data is terrible if I go by my individual experience. That's the worst way.
All right, so correlation of data when we've tested some, I don't know, 60,000 odd people is just as bad because we live in a population of 50 million odd people. It's almost 60 million people. So you keep going down this road. We'll be gathering data until we're gray. Thank God you're not in charge. Sia, do you have any ideas? Have you heard from anybody when this is going to end? Or are we just going to keep on stumbling blindly in the dark? Let's see what happens.
Anything at this point. I'm still not entertaining random people who want to complain. Yesterday, I hung up on a friend on a phone call again who was like, yeah, and so, you know, China. I'm like, okay, cheers, bye. We are not having this.
Oh, really? You just cut them loose?
I don't know.
Ass, do you have any idea?
I don't know. The only thing that's bugging me is no cigarettes and alcohol. The rest I'm fine with. I mean, with the three of you besides Sia who drinks, the rest of you who don't drink or smoke.
Yes.
How's,
you know?
Why is it so hard for you? Oh, shut up, Sia.
No, I found a little souvenir from like a party my parents went to.
It's a sparkling wine.
Nice. I know, and it's like trashy sparkling wine, but did I not enjoy this? Like the best thing in the world. I had a little mimosa yesterday.
People find this random alcohol in their house.
There's never been a better time. There's never been a better time to be a hoarder than now.
My bathroom cupboard and I can smell something. I'm like,
the mouthwash.
Yeah.
Please don't be like Like that that story of PJ Powers. Remember when PJ Powers told us that she was like spraying a hairspray into her mouth just because she wanted to taste the alcohol so bad?
Yes.
when she was in the deepest depths of alcoholic misery, she said that she was spraying hairspray.
I think I would do cough mixture first. At least it tastes nice.
Yeah, at least the hip-hop stars call it scissorp.
Lean. Yeah. So they get lean on that.
Anyway, so, okay, how was everybody's weekend? Anything fun happen?
Well, there was Mother's Day, which was a non-event.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah, okay. Well, I mean, I felt bad for all the people. I feel bad for all the people whose moms are not around, because everyone on social media is like posting pictures of them with their mom and saying, oh, moms are the greatest. And like, I love my mom. And then you think of all those people who don't have a mom, and you think of all those people whose mothers are not around them. And I felt really sorry for them. I was like, I'm not posting a picture of me with my mother. Make people feel bad. That's like the ultimate flex. And it's just such an unkind social flex, you know? Like, I'm going to show you how me and my mom are around and we still get along and she loves me and I love her. And there are people all over the world who don't have that. It's just cruel.
Yeah, they don't have that. Or there are a lot of people who don't have children, so they don't really care.
Yeah, oh, okay. Well.
That's true.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I mean, I'm not, you know, I don't have kids, but I love Mother's Day. And I know that my brother and his wife and my two nephews, they celebrated Mom's Day with her. And then me and my brother and sister were at my mother's house for a little while. So we saw her. But, you know, most people didn't get to do that. And during lockdown, it's harder than ever.
In my entire family.
What's that? I missed the last bit of that.
In my entire family, there is one mom.
Only one, and it's your mother.
All the rest have died, and the others haven't had children.
Oh, I was going to say, isn't that how it works with biology?
Sure. But I think it's great that people celebrate their mothers. It's not an attack on you who doesn't have a mother.
No, I agree with you. I love that. But I just keep thinking, how does someone feel who doesn't? And they see all these other people having a fun time with their moms. It must be horrible.
But that's like on anything. If you have a six pack and people don't, you mustn't put that out there.
No, fair enough.
The line.
But I do hear what Gareth is saying. It's a little tougher and more sensitive on days like this. A friend of mine who has lost her mother a few years ago actually talking to her, and she was saying, you know, of 3 days, that's the most difficult to deal with in grief. And she says for her, it's Mother's Day, the day her mother died, and her mother's birthday. Those are just like slap you in the face reality that your loved one isn't there.
That is tragic.
Now, I know C has been subscribing to these psychic medium YouTube channels. I want to know what this is all about. This looks like an exciting new foray into the wild and wacky for Sia. Sia has a problem with people who call him up and start talking about China on a Sunday, but he has no problem subscribing to Dionne Warwick's psychic medium.
Oh,
there's also that one called Kasamba or something that I'm seeing advertised. I have a history of bad pain, and as true to my life, the last man left me for another woman, and then the psychiatrist, I mean, sorry, the what's that
psychic.
What called?
Psychic, yeah.
Yeah.
Is, I like helping people, and then there's a whole ad of numbers you can call.
Oh, God. So what are your psychics telling you, Sia, on the channels that you watch?
Me thinking about buying the fact that I'm down an avenue that's a little worrying and shaky. What does your history look like now that you're in lockdown? Because you relatively have more time to read more, to research more, to investigate things. And the fact that the internet is so for us, we can start the most niched things possible. And it was a couple of days ago when I realized I am so particular with what I take in that it really has been like psychic medium after psychic medium after psychic medium. Well, because they're like hundreds of channels out there on YouTube or thousands of websites out there. So I do everything. I watch like Tyler Henry. He's the Hollywood medium. I watch Teresa. Yes. Teresa, who's the Long Island medium. I have now got into this new concept in the States. It's also a TV show. Mm-hmm. It's a psychic medium who fakes as a Uber driver. So you order your Uber, you get into the car and you think you're minding your own day. And then he starts saying, did your mother pass? And then the passenger's
for God's
like,
sake,
whoa.
No, you must be kidding. So this guy, hang on a second. So you're just catching a cab or an Uber from somewhere to the airport. And then suddenly this dude starts reading you your future and telling you about your past. Oh no, my God, I would stop the car immediately.
And these people end up getting out the car. They arrive at the airport or wherever they're going. And their makeup smudged because they've been crying because they've made contact with their dead mother.
God, no.
Yes.
Do not do this to me. It's one of the most horrible. So it's horrible. No, it's unadulterated bullshit from beginning to end.
So it's been binge watching a lot of psychic mediums. And then I don't know why I found myself also binge watching music producers.
Yeah.
They came to make their hit songs. I've been finding that so fascinating.
Yeah, that's cool. I can understand that. That I'm with you 100%. You can have the psychics to yourself, but this one we got to share.
Easily 2 hours went by over the weekend. I was just watching like the flow, explaining how he makes some of his beats, and then, you know, like from one arbitrary 5-second clip that he's heard, he looped that and then he augmented the sound.
That's amazing.
And that's how he got a hit song. I thought all of this was so funny because now, even if you are into something like wood carving,
yeah,
hundreds of wood carving channels on YouTube, that is all that you can consume the whole time.
I was talking to somebody over the weekend on like Zoom or Skype or whatever, and they were saying to me they're doing a whole bunch of courses in like applied mathematics online because the lecturers in applied mathematics on YouTube are way better than the ones you'll get at UNISA or or the University of Western Cape, and he will explain the theorem to you and then show you how to calculate things. And like this friend of mine said, this is the most amazing resource in the world. And you don't need the experts anymore. Let's go back to Mbulelo's point from earlier. You can get the expert of experts in the world to be your lecturer. You watch the clip as many times as you like. And you don't need to go and pay for a university degree, which is really just credentialism anyway. So I'm very excited about the fact that the internet is able to become this vast repository of knowledge. And these days, you know, you can't have a conversation without somebody Googling something to fact check a story or to remind themselves of how it goes or whatever. And I think that's a good thing. I think it's great that we're able to.
There are so many people who believe fake news and don't actually research the stuff themselves.
Yeah, but as I've said before,
which is very annoying.
When we had Emma Sadler on once about this not so long ago, I said to her, so what? Like, why is it so important that these people who like the fake news be stopped? Let them. Conspiracy theories have been part of dinner parties and braai conversations and people sharing stuff, on the phone in terms of voice calls for years. You're going to stop that now? I don't think it's a problem.
Well, actually, if you think about it, before the internet, we had People Magazine.
Yes.
In those days, People Magazine was very different. It was printed on like a newspaper type paper.
Is that when they still had all the alien abduction stories? And
yes. it was almost square in format.
Mm-hmm.
Magazine.
I think that's fake news, and that was fine. People loved it. I mean, the National Enquirer in America used to be like that too. And people eat that stuff up. So I don't know why we're all so frightened of fake news now suddenly. Because it doesn't matter. So if people want to consume that crap, then let them. It's just, you know, it's like some people listen to jazz music, which is bullshit. Some people, I mean, I should call that fake music. And we should start a campaign against fake music. Some people like watching fashion shows on TV. I mean, that's fake bullshit as well. We should just shut that down. Come on, who are we to decide what people should and shouldn't watch?
As I have a duty.
Yeah, I mean, so what? Let people watch fashion TV. Can you imagine more mindless and stupid pursuit than putting that? Does that channel even exist anymore? Where they just have the models walking
yes,
around?
Yes, I was so surprised. I stumbled over it by accident recently as well.
I've never understood that.
Fashion Cafe.
E-news, e-entertainment news, you know, the E with the exclamation mark. I mean, that is such a fake news channel yes. as well. Khloe Kardashian just changed her nail polish color, and it's all over Hollywood. Like, if that's the kind of bullshit you watch, you should be allowed to. I'm not going to. In fact, it helps me to figure out, if you tell me you watch that, I don't have to tell you I think that you're an idiot. I can just quietly assume that and carry on with the conversation and move away as quickly as possible. I want to know that you watch that crap. I want to know that you believe in wild conspiracy theories, and I want to know that you are a consumer of crap music so that I can get away from you. It helps me to...
Maybe. You might be really intelligent and watch that stuff. Mm-hmm. Like to see other people
it's like,
look like absolute fools.
Sure, it's like a lot of people watch soap operas, right? And I used to, when I was a kid at high school, I used to watch soap operas because they were just this mindless escapism. You just like, okay, I don't need to take anything in life so seriously because look at what's going on, you know, Bold and the Beautiful. And it's so dumb. It is so, so dumb that you actually just have a moment to relax and not feel pressured by the things that are going on in actual life. You just forget about that for a while and you go into this world of like the soap opera where these made up characters have these made up problems. And I can understand that. What's wrong with that?
Well, I tell you the one thing that wasn't made up.
What's that?
Was when Marlena was possessed.
Oh, man.
That was real.
Do you see that there's no kissing allowed on South African TV anymore?
What?
Operas are returning. Production is resuming, but you can't.
If you're an actor, you're not allowed to kiss on set or during filming.
Is this because of COVID? Oh, wow. Okay, that's ridiculous.
So what's a scene with, like, Hilda and Obas or Sieve Dalan going to be like?
I wouldn't know because I haven't watched that since I was in high school.
You can't kiss.
Obas and are there actually people called Obas and Hilda on Sieve Dalan?
Yes, that was a character. Oh, my gosh. I went through a very – the same way we cannot judge me for, you know – getting into skinny jeans when I was in high school. I also went through like a Sieve Dalan phase as well.
Yeah.
The Obas, Matrona, Felicity, they all used to convene at Opie Coffee.
Oh my God. You knew this stuff. So you see, I would have been happy with you watching soap operas. It doesn't to me indicate that you're a complete moron. It means you just wanted some escapism. And I get that, but I think it's part of what makes you work out what someone else's stuff is, you know? You need to know what they're into. I mean, Sia, if you like psychics, I think that's wild and wacky and ridiculous, but I'm not going to try and ban you from watching stupid psychics on YouTube just because they're complete fake news.
What else can we do in a time like this? Hold on to whatever makes you happy, man.
Well, I mean, the scary thing in this country is that fake news at the moment can actually land you in jail. You know that. I mean, like if you're spreading fake news like Becky Cele did when he said that we're all going to die from COVID. Remember when he said that? Well, that's technically fake news.
Yep.
He should be arrested by himself and put in jail for spreading fake news.
Protect me and arrest me from myself.
All right. That should be like the ANC's
full stop.
General statement of like every day when they wake up, they should go, please protect me from myself. Everyone in the ANC. The world would be a safer place. Anyway, we've got to get to some headlines for this morning. You want to start off with that? All right. Let's hear it. All right. Let's start off with a story from EWN this morning. They say City Power says it was forced to cut the lights in some areas of the south of Johannesburg to maintain its infrastructure to avoid a total shutdown of its Hopefield substation. Now, being locked down is bad enough, but imagine being locked down and having no power. And this is because, I mean, why are you laughing?
Imagine being locked down without power and in the South.
Oh, oh Jesus.
Right. Oh, wow.
So apparently the city power people have said that they implemented load shedding in areas around Lawley and Ennerdale following an increase in a number of outages. Isaac Mangena of City Power says the rotational power cuts are caused by a recent surge in demand and illegal connections which have overloaded the network. Oh, yeah, we're going to have massive power demands over winter because it's going to get cold. I mean, it's already pretty cold. And then people, you know, plug in heaters and
yep,
and they have their kettle boiling all the time and that kind of thing. And that really draws power. And he has warned, this Isaac Mangena of City Power, utilities grid is under severe threat. We'll continue to monitor the demand throughout the weekend and into next week. And if there's a need, we'll continue with the load retention. Well, thanks for that. But why don't you just fix it? I mean, this is you said it's infrastructure, so fix it.
Didn't the engineers just come on to help Eskom for free?
You would think so. So, I mean, get on with it. And if you need money, take it from that solidarity fund. I mean, if people don't have power, they also don't have a means to cook. So, you know, you're really leaving people in the lurch. I think this is an emergency. Take it from wherever you need to. And then hundreds of Lesotho citizens are making dangerous border crossings daily between that country and South Africa to go home. All South African borders remain in line with level 4 COVID-19 regulations. They are closed. But that doesn't stop people from Lesotho from crossing the border this way and that way. They have not started local testing, but a lockdown that was imposed in April has been partially lifted to allow all trade and government services for limited hours. Citizens who were stranded in South Africa have started going home, saying they were without jobs, have no food or medicine. They walk through rivers or they use inflatable mattresses to get across. Prime Minister Tom Tabane has beefed up army deployments on the borders with South Africa, mainly to screen people for COVID-19. But you guys aren't even testing, so what difference does it make? I mean, this is why...
I'm being desperate that you use a floating mattress on a river.
Yeah.
Ooh.
But I mean, and now that, and then you have to deal with the army shooting at you? I mean, this is insanity. Insanity. So stupid Lesotho, proving that they are still the most backward country in Southern Africa. Seriously, so backward.
Also, it's impossible to stop people from getting into Lesotho. There's 4 or 5 ways to get in that I could do right now, legally.
Like mountain passes that people can use that are not patrolled. I mean, it's so easy. Plus, if you do get stopped by someone, you just bribe them. I mean, don't we understand this? I mean, how do you think we have so many illegal immigrants crossing from Zimbabwe and Mozambique, and less so, but there's still a few from Botswana and Namibia every single day? Well, the answer is they just cross. The fence is down in some places. You know, it's all good and well for government to make rules for law-abiding citizens already in the country. But it's amazing how those rules just don't apply where they are incompetent to enforce them. The SABC are denying reports in the Sunday Times that they will be requesting more money from Parliament's Portfolio Committee. I do not understand why they don't just go the way of SAA and shut down the SABC. They have projected a 2 billion rand loss because of COVID-19. In a statement released on Sunday, the broadcaster admits the outbreak has had an impact. No, it didn't. You guys were running this place badly before the outbreak.
Let's not sway from that reality.
Yeah, you were already a fuck up before. I'm sorry, and this is
amazing.
This is going to be an excuse.
It's amazing how many people are blaming COVID when they were already in trouble before.
Yeah, they're the same people. They're the same people. The same ones who are saying stay safe, stay home. But then when they fail, they're like, oh, but it was COVID that forced my business into liquidation. Well, then you should have been campaigning against the lockdown, shouldn't you, idiot? But you were also going, no, stay safe, stay home. Dummies.
Hashtag Cyril Fridays.
Oh, my God. What dummies. We live in a country of complete morons. Okay, and then this is interesting. Here's a story from Time. That's Time magazine. Iran says it's ready for unconditional prisoner swaps with the U.S. amid coronavirus fears. Iran say that they would like to swap prisoners because They're afraid that the coronavirus could put lives of their prisoners in the U.S. at risk. So it's all political. It's got nothing to do with the actual prisoners. They quoted cabinet spokesperson Ali Rabie as saying there is a readiness for all prisoners to be released without condition, but the U.S. has refused to answer so far. Well, it's because they can tell that you guys are just trying to make it look like they don't have the coronavirus under control. Remember, Iran was like the second country to be affected just before Italy, and their numbers were completely out of control for a short while. And then we just haven't heard from them since. And guess what? We wouldn't know if their numbers were still bad or not because Iran is not telling anybody what the status of people in their country is in respect of infections and deaths.
So I love the fact that their prisoners getting tortured wasn't enough before, but the COVID fear is enough.
Yeah, well, their prisoners were
like, let's get them out now.
Yeah, who's being tortured?
Well, the Iranian prisoners are probably not in a 5-star hotel in Las Vegas.
They're not being tortured.
Oh, well.
Fake news.
Sorry.
Yeah, exactly.
Protect myself from myself.
No.
Get locked up.
I'm going to hold you to a higher standard, Mr. Mbulelo Tinta. Don't make shit up. The U.S. isn't torturing Iranians.
Sure. Oh, yeah. They probably got them in Las Vegas gambling.
Yeah, and then human urine. This is a great story for all of us this morning. Human urine could help make concrete on the moon. Isn't that great?
What?
Yeah. We've always needed concrete on the moon.
The European Space Agency, who clearly have nothing better to do at the moment, said that human urine could one day become a useful ingredient in making concrete so that we could build things on the moon. The agency said researchers in a recent study it posted found that urea, the main organic compound in urine, would make the mixture for a lunar concrete more malleable, and before it hardens into its final sturdy form, it could be worked properly on the moon. It noted that only using materials available on site for a moon base or other construction would reduce the need to launch supplies from Earth. The main ingredient in lunar concrete would be powdery soil found on the moon's surface. The European Space Agency said urea, which can break hydrogen bonds and reduce the viscosity of fluid mixtures, would limit the amount of water necessary in the recipe. So this is again why I'm not sure that experts are to be any use to humanity. We're not going to be building on the moon anytime soon, but they don't worry, kids. They're keeping an eye on how much concrete you can mix on the moon with your piss.
Viscosity is a great word.
Yeah, viscosity. All right, so those are the main headlines that we decided to dig up for you this Monday morning. What's the story with – is Anthea going to join us now? Sia? Hello?
Yeah, what?
Oh, I just wondered whether you'd been cut off by mistake. So we're going to talk to Anthea just now. We're also later on in the show going to get to your emails and your messages, which I promise you we'll do in the next few minutes. I'm not going to mess you around on that front like I – you know, I always feel bad when I have to get to the messages late in the show, so I might as well just do that now. And we've got some other guests joining us for this Monday to get your day off to a good start. If you want to WhatsApp us, 0797482090, and we would love to hear from you. So let's go. Top of the morning, guys. Quick question. Is Jamil still choking? Oh, okay. This is to do with my big debate with Reedy Klabi over the weekend, which was – I didn't even make – a fuss of it because I thought it was crap, and I didn't promote it on social media because I thought it was crap, and I wasn't going to waste anyone else's time. But yes, I debated some dude called Jamil, who I've never heard of. I still don't know who he is, and he was arguing with me about my letter to Cyril Ramaphosa. So if you wanted to watch that, you might have caught that. So I don't know. SABC should have been booming in the COVID time as people are at home watching TV all day. Chris, that's correct, Chris. One of the few sectors of the economy that is doing very well during this time is media. And guess what? Even in a time where the rest of the media business is doing well, the SABC is failing. That's how bad.
But Chris, the SABC can't do well in a time like this when they're showing reruns of Judge Judy from 1992 and also of, like, you know, Sesame Street from the 80s.
Is that what they're doing?
You're...
I haven't watched SABC.
And the amount of reruns, oh my goodness.
Shame.
Not normal.
All right, now let's turn our attention, shall we, to Anthea, who's on the line to talk to us this morning. Hello, Anthea, how are you?
Good morning, Gareth. I'm well, thanks. Winter's definitely here, but other than that, I'm good.
Yeah, you can feel it, huh? No, it's definitely cold. All right, so let's start off with a solidly positive week on the global markets. Do you think that there is a disconnect between the markets and the real world economy for most people?
Oh, there's a complete disconnect because basically another day, another business rescue, right? So yes, last week we had global markets positive again. The S&P 500 is now down just 10% year to date. The all share was up 1%. The Rand is now 18.35, so again, a lot stronger. I mean, even in our bond market, it fell below 10% for the first time since March. And just for the record, when the yield falls, that's a good thing because it means that people are buying our bonds.
Mm-hmm.
And this, of course, we've had COVID-19. We've had the downgrade by Moody's. We've had extra downgrade. It is interesting to see the outflows, though. So when we downgraded, the investors who are holding South African bonds sold 54 billion rands worth.
Wow.
And then also last week on the macro front, we had foreign reserves increase, which of course is always a good sign if you have spare cash.
So what does that actually mean? I mean, explain it to somebody who doesn't know what foreign reserves are, like me, for example.
So foreign reserves are basically what you use or what you calculate to pay for your imports and versus your exports.
Oh, okay.
So obviously, yeah. So it's very simple, actually, right? The thing is, it's held in US dollars. And so, of course, there's a couple of things with this higher foreign reserve number. First of all, oil has fallen through the floor, which is a big import of ours.
Uh-huh.
Gold is higher, and still they kind of use gold as a metric. And then because there's no global trade, our imports have obviously increased or not as much as they were before. And so obviously the foreign reserves, the amount of money we're paying out of the country, has actually improved a bit. Just on that, though, it is a very volatile number. So I would take that with a pinch of salt.
Yeah, I saw some horrible footage over the weekend of what's going on at OR Tambo in our cargo bays, where people who've been importing things into South Africa just have not been able to get them cleared. And they're sitting there in complete disarray. There are just boxes and boxes and boxes in these enormous warehouses that are just waiting to be sorted and shipped off. And no one is doing anything because they're all at home. No one's working. And cargo, obviously, is a major, you know, a major route into the country, air cargo, for many products and imports. And they're all just sitting there at the moment. So it's a bit of a disaster.
So we sometimes watch the planes that come in and out of countries just to give us an idea of what's happening on the ground. And South Africa has practically zero passenger planes, but every single day we have at least two cargo planes coming in and out.
Yeah. Well, that's...
So I can imagine that's happening.
That stuff is just sitting there at the airport at the moment. So someone, and it's just gathering day by day more and more. So someone has to take control of that, obviously, too. Can we just talk quickly about, while we're talking local business, so Caxton Publishers said that they're getting out of the magazine business. This after Associated Media did the same thing just a week or two before.
Yeah, so Caxton, they the guys who publish Farmers Weekly, Roy Rosa, Woman and Home, People Magazine. Yeah, so a couple of names under their brand. The reduction in the overall amount of ad spend basically has what's led
to demise.
And then the kind of the straw that broke the camel's back was obviously COVID-19 and the high level of cancellations that they've had in the last month. So not just reduction in ad spend, but complete cancellation. And that's how they make their money. So, of course, but you know, it's another business that's been in structural decline anyway, and COVID-19 was kind of the breaking point for them. Magazines, printed magazines, very difficult business to be in, I think.
Anthea, we need a new tool in the financial arsenal, and you've got to maybe work on this for us, is we need a tool that can ascertain whether or not a business was already failing before COVID-19, and they're using it as an excuse, or it was as a direct result of the lockdown and the pandemic that a business shut down. Because there are going to be lots of people who take advantage of this to make an excuse for an already failing business. We mentioned the SABC earlier. Maybe magazines were already on their way out, and this is just as it's just expedited that process. Surely we need some means of figuring out whether they're lying to us or not when it comes to the reasons for their failure.
So that's what we do every single day as asset managers when we decide which companies to be invested in. And the next two examples are very interesting because Pumalela Gaming, that's the gambling business, also filed for business rescue last week. Ooh. And this is a company that was already in decline, actually, yeah. For a number of reasons, because of competition and because of government gaming regulation or gambling regulation, I should say. And then, of course, what happens when there is absolutely no more horse racing, they've got no more revenue. Just by the way, I want to point out like an arbitrary fact that Pumalela Gaming, one of its directors and largest shareholders was in fact Marcus Eurster.
Oh.
And then the other funny one, which really intrigues me, is Comair, because they're filing for business rescue as well, and they've suspended their JSE listing. So if you had shares in Comair last week, you can now no longer trade out of them. Hmm. And Comair was a good business. I mean, this is a business that for 23 years made profit, and then last year, for the first time, showed a loss. Very strong balance sheet. Granted, they still had and from SAA that they needed to recoup and obviously were not going to, so had to write that off. But still, they were a very well-run business. And so now they've gone into business rescue, saying that it's the best option to ensure the long-term survival. So I think what they'll do is they'll kind of rise from the ashes, if you like, hopefully, anyway, and then start up again. But basically, the board is now no longer in control. Mm-hmm. And the board really just is almost its responsibility in saying, you know, as a going concern, we need clients. Like in my business, you need financial liquidity, you need a certain number, you need a certain amount of cash, you need insurance, you know, all the things that cost money. Have just gone into business rescue so that they don't have to meet and hopefully will save some of the cash, restructure the business, and then start up again. So that businesses are using COVID-19 as an excuse, I think a lot of them are going to.
Yeah.
And a lot of them undoubtedly are going to restructure, lay off people, and they almost need to, Gareth, to survive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Fears, but what else do you do?
Yeah, this business rescue is going to become a major burgeoning area for lawyers. And obviously for the tax collectors, it's very bad news because a lot of these companies used to pay big tax payments every year, you know, used to make big payments to SARS, and those are now going to dry up.
Indeed, it really is a very scary downward spiral from unemployment to tax revenues. And just like general demand across a number of things, because, you know, it offsets other businesses. So if one business goes, the other businesses that they were supporting will also have to file for business rescue.
So talk to me about AB
InBev. Yeah, so they put out their first quarter results. They now report quarterly, obviously, because they're an offshore company. And no surprise, really. You know, they're saying globally volumes are down 9%. If you exclude China, the volumes are down only 3.5%. China's volumes are down 46%. Suddenly, people in China stop drinking beer.
Wow.
But it's not just South Africa where things are coming to a halt. You know, even if the country has said, fine, go out. You can smoke and drink alcohol if you want to. The point is that because people are in lockdown and they can't get to work and they can't transport things, there's a supply chain disruption. Mm-hmm. Limits the amount of product that you can get to the endpoint and therefore what you can sell. So, of course, AB and InBev have suffered significantly. I think this is an interesting one because it's so cheap at the moment. It's like on a well, let me see if I can remember. I haven't got it written down, but it's on a 15 times 2020 forward price earnings ratio, and even lower than that, I think, for 2021. So it's the cheapest I've seen it in a while. But the problem with AB InBev is also, from here on out, emerging market currencies, especially commodity-based currencies, are going to get stronger because during COVID-19, they really took a bad hit, like ours, for example.
Right.
And I've always said that our currency is undervalued, and so it should strengthen. And a stronger emerging market currency for AB InBev, which are the areas that they operate mostly, is not a good thing. And then they've also got a lot of US dollar denominated debt. So even though AB InBev looks so cheap and so tempting to buy it,
yeah,
it's a difficult one.
You would probably say then stay away for a moment or two, right? Don't rush into this one.
Don't rush into this one, for sure. Yeah, hang on. Right, okay. Stay out of that one.
All right, how about Sappi? Sappi, obviously, they've got the mills, they do the paper, they do a bunch of other things. How are they looking?
Two main businesses. One is their glossy paper, and the other one is DWP, dissolving wood pulp. Just shocking. This business sales is down 13%, operating profit on 56%, EBITDA, which is your earnings, fell by 30%, so a third. So really just an incredibly tough quarter for Sappi. And even though we knew because of the magazines, which we spoke about earlier, going into business rescue or failing, this glossy paper part of their business hasn't done particularly well. But now the dissolving wood pulp business, which is really relies quite heavily, believe it or not, on the clothing retail business, because it gets mixed in with your clothing, the fiber business, obviously.
Yeah.
And because the economies around the globe are locking down and retail's not doing so well, now suddenly it's hit. So another company that you actually just want to stay away from. I'm not sure if it'll go under because I have another cap later on. But Sappi is one of those companies that have been struggling and really relying on clothing retailing, and now that's disappeared.
Whew.
It's not looking good.
And are we hearing any statements from government about all the concern around these companies shutting down? I mean, is anyone speaking out and saying, hey, hang on, guys, we've got to rescue this stuff before it falls out completely?
Well, finally, our finance minister spoke up last week. I mean, I think he's seen the light, right? He's saying that the economy urgently needs to reopen, but we need to balance it with the need to protect people's lives, is basically what he said.
Right.
Yeah, so he's definitely speaking up. I mean, he's a funny old chap. I do like Tito, but I also saw later on that he tweeted something about not questioning government and their motives. And I was like, what makes you think you're above questioning?
Yeah. So, the one group of people throughout human history who've plunged more people into misery, poverty, war, starvation, danger, death is government. So we should be extremely suspicious of you, actually.
So on the one hand, he's so logical and going, guys, we really need to get this economy kickstarted. And on the other hand, he's going, like, he's completely illogical. Like, how dare you think we can't question you? Like, it's our vote that got you there. And then just very quickly, Gareth, a bit of offshore news as well. On the macro front, the Bank of England has kept interest rates unchanged. And basically, so their interest rate is now 0.1%. So still not negative, but crumbs. It's like as close to zero as you can get, right?
Okay.
And then they've kept their quantitative easing purchasing unchanged at £645 billion, which is just after the March increase. And in the US, this jobless numbers claim is unbelievable. Last week, another 3.17 million people in the U.S. claimed unemployment. It's just, so this now, the last 7 weeks total in the U.S. is 33 million Americans, or who have lost their jobs, I should say, not out of jobs. They may have been employed separately after they put in their claim, but just 33 million people lost their jobs in 7 weeks.
Yeah.
And That's basically our entire working population almost.
Yep, just about. In fact, I think it's more than our working population. The number of people who've just gone into unemployment in the US is more than the number of people who work in South Africa.
Well, that puts it in shocking perspective.
Crazy.
Yeah. Uki wants to know, should any business not just go into business rescue if there's guaranteed to be no income until October? It's quite a process. And Oki, you've asked a good question. It's a question which is best posed to a guy called Symes. What's his name at Flaxman's?
Colin Strime
at Flaxman's Attorneys. You can go and look at the podcast. It's on cliffcentral.com. He's an expert in business rescue, and you might want to go and check out what he has to say there, because it's not just about income. It's about kind of what your forecasted revenues are, what your staff component is, your costs are, who you owe money to, that kind of thing. So it's worth taking a listen to the Flaxman's podcasts, and you can find those on cliffcentral.com. Anthea?
And also, very importantly, when you go into business rescue, you basically give up control of your business. And so you may not have, or they may not afford you the luxury of restarting your business after the lockdown ends.
Right. Exactly. Okay. Anthea, anything else you want to throw in?
No, I think that pretty much covers it. I mean, the lot going on, you know, in the US, we're about 75% through earnings season, and earnings have dropped by, and you'd think this would be a bigger number, but only 8%, a much bigger number. But then again, these numbers that we're seeing now that the US is reporting is only until the end of March. April, the second quarter will be a lot worse. And then, of course, also in the US, we've seen Neiman Marcus, which is kind of the symbol of luxury in the US, the retail business file for bankruptcy. There's a lot going on
Sure. Everywhere.
We're not the only ones where companies are reporting or filing for business rescue. Yeah, the only companies that are doing particularly well actually are still very much kind of the internet companies, internet based, Amazon, Microsoft.
Sure. Okay. Well, this is not good news, especially for those people who do like the luxury brands. How many of them do you think will survive long term? It's a really interesting question. In a world where luxury brands are going to become much, much less important to people than they were a year ago, I wonder how many of those will make it through.
Well, I don't know if I told you this, Gareth. A couple of weeks ago, when China unlocked their economy, Hermes, they have quite a big store in China. Mm-hmm. They made $2.7 million in sales in one day, on the first day after China opened up its economy, sort of the biggest one day sales target they've ever reached. Hmm. And so I think what you're going to see is that people, once they come out of lockdown, are generally going to go out and spoil themselves. They need a little bit of a treat after being in this lockdown. Even I'm beginning to feel like that. But then once the reality hits, you know, it's like, oh, well, people are losing their jobs around me. I may lose my job. And then they'll suddenly start tightening their belts. So I think you'll see a bit of an increase in luxury brands, or not even luxury brands, but kind of spoils a little bit. And then nothing. The retailers are really going to suffer. The only ones that I guess are going to survive are the absolute necessities, food and clothing.
Thank you, Anthea. Always good to check in with you. That is the Money Shot, which on a Monday morning just gets us in touch with what's going on in the macro economy and what's happening to businesses in South Africa. Things that you need to know if you feel like you're part of the economy, whether you like it or not, you are. And Anthea Gardner, who you can always get hold of through our website, and you can catch up on podcasts you might have missed by going to cliffcentral.com. Thank you, Anthea. Good to talk to you, as always. All right. It is cliffcentral.com. It is a Monday morning, the 11th of May. And we are heading towards 7 o'clock, so stick around. We've got plenty of good stuff for you. We're going to talk to somebody who is trying to get back to Hong Kong. She and her husband, he works there. They're trying to get back, and apparently it's impossible. There are just no flights going there. You can't get South African Home Affairs to help you in any which way. So we were talking last week to somebody who's stuck in Bali, I think on a honeymoon. It was Bali, right, Sia? Was it Bali where they were stuck?
And Thailand.
That's right, Thailand. Okay, and now we've got people who are stuck here who want to go back to work in Hong Kong and cannot get out. So it just seems
the Hong Kong authorities have given them the green light to say, yes, you can come back.
Right. It's our local people who are preventing them from going back. And it just seems that there's no way. They said they'll even travel in a cargo plane if they have to. But it seems no one is willing to help them. And, you know, the guy needs to get back to work there because he's got a job in Hong Kong and they're waiting for him. But South African...
They ask different questions.
Yeah, South African authorities are not making it any easier for them. So we'll find out more about that in a short while. CliffCentral.com, good morning. Good morning, good morning. Oh, by the way, you want to get hold of us? You can do that, if you would like, on 0797482090.
CliffCentral.com